It is Dukes and Bell. Thanks to our man, Mike Conti, Jason Longshore, for jumping on with us. It's been a fun day out here at the training grounds in Marietta for our Atlanta United, who introduced their new manager today, Frank DeBoer. More coming up if you missed our interview with him at 6:20, so stay tuned for that. Hey, by the way, Conti and Longshore brought to you by our friends at Resurgence Orthopedics. From neck to toes, muscles, and bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics, guys. Hey, we're going to talk plenty more about the NFL playoffs as part of our strong arm story of the day in less than 20 minutes. But right now, let's get to the Falcon Report.
Yeah, man, it's brought to you by Domino's.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa, whoa. KC got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Brady Jarrett got another one.
Shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
All right, Carl, what if I told you there's a guy we thought would have been really good as an offensive coordinator here, but it seemed like he was hands-off because John Elway was not going to part with Gary Kubiak about 10 days ago, and now we find out that Gary Kubiak is interviewing with both the Jacksonville Jaguars and has an interview set up with the Minnesota Vikings.
As a Falcon fan, I thought, that it was the best option available if it was going to be available. It wasn't. But you got to be a little bit upset, right? You got to be a little bit mad about the idea that the guy that probably fit perfectly for what we want to do is now all of a sudden available. Guys, I said this a couple of weeks ago when I spoke to him, and you know, it kind of went in one end and out the other. He said, I want to get back in. But I needed a break. I took the break. And as far as the job here, he hadn't been contacted at the time that I spoke to him, but right. Then we found out they were blocking him from these interviews.
Like, I believe you, he wanted to get back. I just assumed there's only one place to go for him. That was going to be, you know, Rocky Mountain High. His buddy John Elway, he had been involved in the process of getting Case Keenum, whether you think that was the right decision or not. But apparently some argument or some disagreement about what his staff was going to look like, which I can't imagine John Elway, why did screw that up? Because everybody liked the idea of Fangio coaching, you know, the head coach in defense.
Yep.
And then Gary working the offense. Either way, he's on the float. A lot of Falcon fans going, well, why couldn't we have waited? Well, I mean, like, Quinn had his own timeline. I like Dirk Cutter. Julio Jones had his best touchdown season when Dirk Cutter was the OC. That was 10 touchdowns. You know, obviously Matt Ryan did not have an MVP season, his best season with Shanahan, but he had a really good season with Cutter. But it is interesting, though, because a lot of people thought if you're going to continue to run the Shanahan version of the West Coast zone blocking scheme, then this is the guy to get.
It is interesting, guys. It's our Falcon Report, as Mike mentioned, brought to you by Domino's. But before we get to our Domino's tag, you know what I forgot to say?
You know, we've been so busy today. There's so much stuff going on. We forgot the hey, man.
Exactly. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is good to have you on a Monday. Domino's brings you our Falcon Report, guys.
Yeah, man. Make it a pizza party. A medium pan pizza, three toppings, $7.99. All sorts of great deals as well when you go to Domino's.com for carryout. Yeah, there's so much stuff going on. We're having so much fun. We got to meet the new skipper for Atlanta United. We're talking with the guys. We're hanging out up here at this beautiful training facility. Yeah, man. The hey, man. How was your weekend, by the way?
It was great, bro. Chilled. I mean, like, literally. Bo asked me earlier. I said, I don't think I got off the couch except to put food in my mouth and put a cocktail in my grill. I loved it. I mean, the weather was so I had no intentions of going anywhere, and thank goodness I'm knocking on wood I didn't have to do anything. But man, I absolutely love the idea of just laying around watching playoff football. I love this time of year, Mike.
Me too, man. Actually, you'd be very proud of me. I'll talk about it later. I actually got outside the perimeter this week.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
For about 16 hours. We'll talk about it later. But in Johns Creek, no less.
Wait, did he say 16 hours?
Yes.
Like he had to get back?
Well, again, statute of limitations.
I only had 16 hours to be outside the perimeter.
Hey, man. Thanks again to Jason and Mike, man. Get out of here. Get some sleep there, pal. But yeah, man, I had some fun AC/DC cover band up off of Johns Creek. Anyway, the weekend's games, though, the Patriots reminded us, and we'll talk more about this in the part of the big story, but the Patriots reminded us why they are the Patriots. You know, the Saints, though, I mean, look a little shaky. Got to be honest with you. You throw in losing Sheldon Rankins, it's a very interesting scenario now. I think the Rams have a much better chance. They show they could hang. Saints got the win in the regular season, but the way the Rams are running the ball and the emergence of C.J. Anderson if Gurley's not 100%, an intriguing matchup for that NFC Championship.
It is. I want to ask you guys a question, and I'm not being, you know, in the moment, crazy.
Don't be in the
Homer.
Moment. Go for it.
How far away are we, the Falcons, okay?
One stop. One stop in the home game here, and don't turn the ball over down there. They're beatable. They are beatable.
Well, yes.
Everybody's beatable in the NFL, but we didn't execute. The Saints executed. They know how to finish. We couldn't finish anybody this year.
But I'm asking, Mike, and you're right about beating the Saints. That's so maddening. I mean, I actually thought the first game we should have beat them, and the second game, how far are we away from getting another opportunity to be in this round of playoffs? I'm talking about an NFC championship, guys. And here's the thing. When you look at where we're at, this is going to sound crazy. You're going to go, oh, you're out of your mind. Fine. We're not that far away. You're getting all of these guys back. And I think right now in our heads as fans, we're looking at all these injuries, Mike, and we're going, man, this is daunting. We gotta replace all these guys. You're not replacing Keanu Neal. He's coming back. You're getting the Pro Bowl safety back, okay? You're getting the communicating leader of your defense back in Rico. We got Debo back already. Some of these guys on the offense, I think Fusco, Mike, is back. Here's my point. This is not going to take eight players in the offseason to retool and all of a sudden we got to do something completely different. What we do need to do, though, all right, is do what happened in these playoffs over the weekend, and that's being able to run the football effectively and stop the run.
And I'm not trying to poop on your rosy scenario.
No, but you can. That's why I'm asking
you. We got to get two guards. I'm not sold on Fusco. You got to prove to me at this age, in his 30s now, he can stay healthy. You know, we got to get two guards and a tackle. And at the very least, we got to get depth anyway because the backups are no good. We've seen that. So I'm just concerned that we got to find a taller, bigger complement to Grady. I don't need a Grady clone. I need a bigger version on that defensive line. I don't want to lose Grady.
Okay.
But I still need a bigger size guy to help to create that. Don't let those offensive linemen get to that second level as quickly and easily to be able to negate the smaller size Debo. But getting back to your first question, yes, everybody we're seeing is running the ball and stopping the run.
That's
we
it.
Can't stop the run, and we can't run the ball right now in our present composition.
Okay, so here's the thing. If you get all your pieces back on defense, all right, and I don't know if some of these guys, Jack Crawford and some of these other guys are going to be back.
You missed
back.
On Terry Poe a little bit too this year.
You know, Shelby, I don't know if any of these guys, they were all complimentary players anyway. These weren't guys that you went, okay, when the time gets rough, these are the guys I want on the field. I don't disagree with you about getting a bigger interior defensive lineman. But I also think that this is not as daunting as we think it is. That's what I'm getting to. What we saw yesterday could easily be us next season. There is nothing guaranteed in the NFL, but I just believe watching those games, the reason why we went to the Super Bowl the year we went a couple of years ago, Mike, we made plays on defense and you know how good our offense was. That's great. But the fundamental thing about what I watched this weekend was if you can't stop the run, you get gouged, and if you can't run it. And the two things that plagued us this year, whether you want to say the injuries or not, we couldn't do either one of those.
I'm with you.
So those are things we can get back to, and I think that's what I have to wait to see with this team.
I mean, the free agency, we've already been told by the general manager, we don't have all the money in the world to spend on those guys. We're going to be, and this is Thomas' words, not mine. You know, we might not be those first-tier free agents in the mix. We just don't have the money to go give Julio his bump that he certainly deserves, and then Grady Jarrett his contract, you know, unless Dan wants to move on from Grady, and then now you're going to fill two spots on your defensive line.
No, you're not doing that.
So getting back to the O-line, you can do it through the O. I mean, you can do it the O-line through the draft. Can you do it again? How many more years are we going to continue to spend like a Dollar General? I'd like to go to Macy's and find my offensive lineman. I'd prefer not to go down to Odd Lots. Yeah, but that's the way we've been trying to cobble it together.
Yeah.
It worked in 16, and it hasn't worked since.
No, but you know, I was having this conversation over Twitter with somebody, and I got a Twitter conversation that I want to share with you guys. It's part of our big story coming up in less than 10 minutes. Do not move. Don't go anywhere. It is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm going to put him up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell, 929. And, of course, follow the radio station at 929 The Game. There are none of these offensive lines. Go look at them, okay? And you can go look at the remaining four teams, but go look at the divisional round specifically. None of these offensive lines had all pros across the board. And, you know, a guy was basically saying, yeah, but, you know, what we get back to, the depth and all of this stuff that we talk about, I just think, Mike, you're always going to have one guy that stands out on your O-line, but for the most part, you're going to have other guys that you hope can play at a competent level. And I don't know where we go with this. I just want us to think about that our team is not as far away as it seems. These injuries were devastating, and they all kind of have us in this haze of what it's going to take. Oh, we got to get this and this and this. Not really. Not really.
Well, I mean, I'm gonna beg to differ with you on offense because we haven't had the depth. If we had depth in place, because other teams had dealt with injuries, and they were able to plug in the next man up, and they were able to roll. You know, the Colts, we saw them. Now, granted, they got smoked by the Chiefs. They were not able to run the ball. The Chiefs defense, which we all kind of looked at, well, they can't stop the run. The Chiefs defense bowed up. Yeah, you talked about Houston in the pass rush. They had that cooking. But the Colts, they were able to get in the playoffs, get back in the mix by drafting well on offensive line. Can we do that? I mean, that'll save everybody a ton of money, and then we'll have salary control, and then we can do the things we need to do, which is get Keanu Neal. If we have to keep throwing money in free agency at offensive line, albeit pennies on the dollar,
yeah,
you're still on the backside, not going to be able to do all the things. Keep that great 2015 or 16 draft class.
No doubt. I do agree with you there. The draft is the way to build. We've said that. It's just the way to go about it because you have call certainty with your players.
The Rams had a unique set of circumstances because Goff on his rookie deal,
yes,
were able to do
it. Well, they're Seattle a couple of years
they
ago.
They really, I mean, they spent like drunken sailors, but they're also built to win right now. You know, they got to get it done right to validate that month of March they spent like drunken sailors. They got to win it all this year.
A guy says, Dukes, we got to be more disciplined as well. Penalties killed us. Well, that's where you got to get the coaching involved and coaching guys up and certainly being more disciplined. I don't disagree with that. I'm just fundamentally, guys, today as we talk about the Falcon Report, looking at the playoffs, and we're going to talk specifically about what happened yesterday coming up. Just looking at our football team. And we all want to go, man, we are so far away. I don't believe that. Here's the other thing, though, Mike, and you brought this up. When you start talking about, you know, years, the 16 year where we go to Super Bowl, how many of those guys on that offensive line are going to the Hall of Fame? None of them. Now, Alex Mack may have a chance. He's considered to be one of the best at his position. But I just think in a year where we ran free effectively, we didn't have Hall of Fame guys on that offensive line. So I just think we need to temper our expectations when it comes to what we need and what works. That's all I'm saying. I'm looking across the board this weekend and I'm going, what? Journeyman? Backup, this guy's average. Pick your offensive line. And then I'm going, okay, one all pro. Why can't we get the guys at work? So that's to your point about when are we going to fix this part of our team. That, guys, is a big deal this offseason. But if you handle free agency right and you go into the draft with a plan of maybe, you know, adding some depth, we'll see. Last 2 years, Mike, you said it. When are we going to draft offensive line? We neglected it. It's come back to bite us.
Right. So you look at the Saints, and, you know, look at the Saints, certainly, man, they were able to get that defensive class that, like we had a few years back we just talked about. So they're able to do some things. Offensive line-wise, I thought the Saints, you know, the Eagles got after it. Fletcher Cox did the same thing to them that he did to us at times, you know. And that's why, I mean, we love Grady, but we've got to get that big compliment guy. Look at Aaron Donald. Look at Fletcher Cox. You know, and look at, and by the way, look at all the depth the Eagles
have. Look at Rankins. Sheldon
Rankins there. But they throw, it might be older, but they got a Haloti Ngata they can throw in there. They got Michael Bennett that comes in there. They got a lot of guys, you know. We're throwing in, no disrespect, Jack Crawford we like, but a lot of just guys.
No, these are average guys. They're
average Joes.
That's right. They're average guys. I don't disagree.
They're throwing in Super Bowl winners and Pro Bowlers. Maybe in the past tense as far as where their careers at, but these guys still got some tread on the tire.
Guys that make plays. Hey, with that, man, it's our Falcon Report. It's brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, making a pizza party, man. You go to Domino's right now, Domino's.com, a medium three-topping pan pizza. Get that deep dish. Just $7.99. Carry out at Domino's.com.
Let me ask you this as we head into our strong arm story of the day. You do think the offense is going to be better, right? We automatically believe that the offense is going to be more productive.
Yeah.
We're not going to have a stretch of five games where we don't score 20 or more points, right? Right?
No, it was never really our problem with Cutter. I mean, if you want to argue about what was wrong with Cutter with Mike Smith, it was to take the foot off the gas philosophy where Smitty got always kind of intoned that stay conservative thing when he got a lead. You know, that's why we couldn't finish with those teams either at times.
Yeah.
Look, I wanted Kubiak. I think most Falcon fans wanted Kubiak. But I know that Matt is going to be good with Cutter. But, again, this all goes back to what we just spent 5 minutes on. If we don't fix the offensive line, no matter who we're bringing in. Just doesn't matter. I do know that we're going to have the vertical passing game. I hope we'll be able to run the football.
Wait a minute. How are you going to have vertical passing if you can't protect?
Well, there you go. And then let's hope that Free, you said the same thing. Freeman, man, can he come back? And what if Free, with all the rest because he's been banged up, can he get back to give me – can we sniff 1,000 yards running the football with Devontae?
Yeah, we missed Free tremendously.
I mean, is that even something – I mean, we're all kind of rolling our eyes. Is that even going to be possible?
No, I think it will be, and I think he's going to be motivated as well. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Hey, coming up, we got our strong arm story of the day, but first let's give you a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is –
Hey, Mike, what's it when that hurricane comes and they talk about the cone?
All right, the cone of probability.
C-O-N-E is the word, cone.
Cone. C-O-N-E. I am Beldar of the Coneheads. Cone, you send cone to 72881. That's 72881. We want to give you money, guys. Text the word cone, C-O-N-E, and then answer the phone if somebody calls in the next hour because it could be our guys with loot for you.
All right, man, coming up, we'll break down these games. What they meant, and moving forward, our worst nightmare. And I've got to address somebody on Twitter next. It is Dukes and Bell. We're live at the Atlanta United training grounds today. It's a training facility out here in Marietta. It's where the guys train and get ready for matches on the pitch. Obviously, the big news today, and you know, Frank DeBoer being introduced as Atlanta United's new manager. You'll hear from Frank DeBoer coming up at 6:20, guys. And Mike Conti's on the way, in case you missed it, with some fun stuff. In the meantime, Mike and I have been breaking down these NFL games all afternoon long and what it means now that the championship games are set. Before we get into our strong arm story of the afternoon, Mike, there are a couple of things that you did want to get to outside of the championship games.
Yeah, man. Kyler Murray declares for the NFL draft, the Heisman Trophy winner from Oklahoma. First-round draft pick. If it's a ploy to get more money out of the A's, okay. Billy Beane, your serve, but word is from his camp he's looking for about $15 million, which is comparable to where he would be middle to late first round. And where would he go? Do people get scared off of his size? Only 1 year at Oklahoma, but, man, he can do it all. Does everybody want to kind of capture that, you know, the Baker Mayfield mojo, or, you know, whatever you think is the way to go? He's got a tremendous arm. We know he's got the brain to do anything, play baseball, play football. But will the A's step up to the plate? Either way, he's going to get a chance now to go to the combine. He's declared for the NFL draft.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a surprise to some people. From a financial standpoint, at his position at quarterback, this makes total sense. And again, I don't know what kind of quarterback he'll be in the NFL, but, you know, the A's are not going to be able to pay him that kind of money, Mike. They're just not.
I mean, he's not. I mean, would you compare him to Patrick Mahomes? I mean, Mahomes is his own animal, man. The way he can deliver the ball from three different angles of his arm, he's mobile. But this guy improvises too, and he also obviously is very similar in the offense coming from the Big 12. But much like the ways guys are trying to replicate the way that McVay operates, a lot of guys are going to be looking to find that Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield, whatever you think is that type of guy. You know, they're going to try to find it.
Yeah, Kyler Murray. We were looking at a mock draft today with this announcement. Some mock drafts are already had him going sixth to the New York Football Giants. Now, the first guy that's going to be taken is Haskins, in my opinion, the first quarterback taken.
50 touchdowns, big pocket pass, big guy, too. And the way that offense line blocks, sometimes you want a big guy.
Now, if Jacksonville is in the market, they will probably take him at two. But here's the deal. This is what we don't know about free agency. Nick Foles, guys, I think he's leaving the Eagles. And if I'm a team that's looking for a quarterback with what he's done over the last couple of seasons, Mike, I'm giving Nick Foles a shot.
Yeah, I mean, remember, this is a guy that it's not on him. It's on Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, he's driving to go get to win the game and get you the NFC Championship. The first pick, yes, underthrown, but Lattimore picked off too. But Foles is a guy who's certainly cemented his rep as a clutch quarterback. And, I mean, if you're Jacksonville, that's exactly what you need. I mean, that seems like the perfect landing spot for him.
It does. More about this story as the week goes on. I think he's making the right decision. Hey, real quick, before we get to our strong arm story of the day, I got to say St. Garth. This is the guy's name on Twitter. And last night after the Saints won, and these Saints fans, you're driving me crazy already.
Well, they're our arch rival.
And I said last night, I didn't use any foul language, although I wanted to. I basically put symbols and signs and basically said, this explains how I'm feeling right now. And a lot of people Dukes, we agree with you. And then comes this Saints fan. Eagles got shut out for 3.5 quarters, and y'all thought they was going to win. Who that? We that. How about we this and who this, okay? St. Garth, hush your mouth. You guys have not won the Super Bowl yet. Then he has the audacity, Mike, to say, yeah, you better give us props on your little talk show tomorrow. Our little talk show happens to be number one in the ATL. It's a big talk show. And on top of that, St. Garth, I don't want to learn from you guys. He goes, hating is a disease. Okay, well, then I hate the Saints. Okay, I have a disease.
Yeah, they're our tribal, for crying out loud. So we don't want those mutants wandering around. And by the way, the good news is, you know, they'll be like,
I've got a disease.
Carl,
I hate them.
The good news is I don't think they can afford the hotels to come up here for the Super Bowl. Let's
I
be
hope
honest
not.
With you. You know, there'll be 15 of these guys to a room. Not to mention, Carl, there's the idea that you'd have the Saints
I hate
fans.
Them.
No, the only ones I hate more than that are the Patriots fans. Oh, my God, Tommy, is there anything more ignorant than a Southern accent? I say we go over to Hooters there on Peachtree. Let's get some wings. You don't want that fan base, and you certainly don't want the Saints fan base here in the same weekend, brother. No way.
St. Garth, suck it. Now let's get to our big story.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
Guys, NFL playoffs, it was a couple of blowouts. And then, you know, when you talk about the best games of the weekend, for me, Mike, the Rams-Cowboys game was intriguing. Final score 30-22, and then obviously what happened yesterday in New Orleans with the Saints. But I want you to hear, as we get things started, from Andrew Luck, because we said, man, they got this offensive line, their defense is playing great, and they go in and the Chiefs just put it on them, 31-13 over the Colts. It's the first time the Chiefs are going to host the AFC Championship game since 94 at Arrowhead.
Now, I know this is a bit of a stretch, so bear with me, but if Vinatieri hits that field goal before the half, and by the way, is every guy, now we're pronouncing Vinatieri's career is over, he's been around for 20 years, but Vinatieri misses the field goal and then you miss the extra point. You could have had Andy Reid facing a one possession game down the stretch. How that would have affected how it played out. Give credit, as you said, to Houston and all those linebackers. They got after Andrew Luck, a team that had protected Luck and was able to run the ball, couldn't do either in this game.
Yeah, Andrew Luck said, listen, they did some things better than we did today.
They executed better than we did. We could not establish a rhythm, and that hurt. I mean, it really hurt. It's tough sledding. And those three and outs, they put our defense in a bad situation. We needed to answer some of those early drives, with at least flipping field position and putting points on the board. And that certainly not the start we wanted, and not the middle we wanted, not the finish we wanted. It's a little bit of a tough pill to swallow, but no shame from the guys in that locker room. You know, heads are up high.
Here's a quick note on the Colts. $100 million in free agency to spend. They have a couple of first-round picks. They have the foundation to be really good for a really long time. They're not going anywhere. But Pat Mahomes, Mike, if I would have told you he's not going to throw a touchdown in this game and the Chiefs win, you wouldn't have believed it, right?
No, not even. And the fact that Damian who? Because remember, they lose Kareem Hunt, obviously, to the suspension, but they get over 130 yards in the run game.
Run the ball.
Certainly. And I'm just more impressed. I just didn't think the Chiefs' defense would be able to. I thought Andrew Luck and those guys were on a real heater coming into this, and they just completely stymied the Colts. You hear Andrew Luck talking about it right there. And I thought that, Andy Reid, I thought it was smart, didn't gack it. But now you got Belichick coming to town. Boy, oh, boy, talking about the guy that wins them all, or certainly most of them, and the guy that can never win the big one, and Andy Reid going toe-to-toe. But you say Patrick Mahomes is going to be that X factor.
I think so. Let's talk about the Cowboys. By the way, rumors out of Dallas today. Jason Garrett went on a radio show or basically answered a question about, in our coaches' meetings, there's not been any discussion about, anything changing and some discussion about a contract extension. Then Jerry Jones, his son, goes on the radio and says, we've not had any coaches' meetings, and we've not even talked about an extension. I don't know if he's going to be there or not, but here is what Dak Prescott had to say about the Cowboys losing to the Rams.
No, I don't think that's exactly correct. I mean, yeah, we kind of fell back early in this game, but we were able to get back into it. Defense made a stop there in the third quarter. We were able to make it a touchdown game. We just didn't get it done on fourth down, and I think that really changed the game right there. You get that. I mean, we're still running the ball. We're throwing the ball. We're doing everything. And it's not, hey, we got to drop back and throw it every single time. So we just weren't able to execute when we needed to, and it hurt.
Also on the other side, their young linebackers that were so good and looked so athletic over the course of the day, they got pushed around. The Rams were able to run the ball right down Dallas's throat. And as you said, you couldn't get Zeke really the traction that he needed in this game. And getting back to Jason Garrett. Come on, haven't we seen this? I mean, how do you keep rolling him out there as the one constant in this approach if you're Jerry Jones? I mean, it's like Marvin Lewis back with the Bengals. He doesn't win big games. I mean, move on. Change the approach. Hell, man, you're spending so much money on assistant coaches anyway. What's it matter to cut him loose? Get another guy in here. You got the coin. Go get some. You know what I would do?
And
that
do?
Never happened because now Josh McDaniels is like linked to Bill Belichick's retirement now. But you need that kind of an offensive mind to get more out of this. And one more big-time wide receiver.
Yeah, you do. And by the way, they couldn't get Cooper going all day. The Rams pushed around DeMarcus Lawrence, Antoine Woods, Malik Collins, all these big guys that we saw up close and personal at Mercedes-Benz. They had a long afternoon. I mean, it was just ugly. Rams had three and four set wide receivers out there, and the Cowboys went, okay, well, we'll take one of our linebackers off the field, and we'll be able to make plays. They weren't. Long afternoon. Sean McVay, what did you have to say about this?
You know, I think that was a big part of what we wanted to be able to do. And our guys were creating great movement. We were getting efficient runs on early down, so you're able to get consecutive ones off. When we had to throw it, I thought Jared made some big-time throws. Guys came up in the clutch. I thought we protected really well when we did decide to throw it as well. But You know, you want to be able to be a balanced offense, and we were fortunate throughout the year to be able to, you know, have some success running it or throwing it based on what we felt like was the best way to attack. We had so much respect for this defense going in, but it was a big challenge, and I thought Coach Cromer and the offensive line and our offensive coaching staff just getting a great game plan together, and then ultimately the players executing was special.
You can try to hire a guy that might look like him, Mike, but I don't know if he's going to be Sean McVay. He's proven that he knows what he's doing with these Los Angeles Rams. It is our John Foy big story of the day, guys. It's the NFL playoffs.
Hey, man, the San Diego Chargers, we talked about it earlier, Carl and I. Phillip Rivers now 0-8 against Tom Brady. You know who's having the worst day all weekend long?
Who's that?
That would be Desmond King of the Chargers, also known as number 20. He had some blown coverages. He was missing. He was flailing. It looked like Alford on his worst day. And then he botches the kick, which totally puts any chance San Diego had or L.A. had right out the window before halftime.
No, it was ugly, man. Tom Brady basically saying, you know what, everything fell into place. You said it. They came in, they played with a chip on their shoulder. The offensive game plan was tremendous. 35-7 at the half. That thing was over before it started. I want you to hear, though, from Marshawn Lattimore, and as much grief as we give Saints fans and they try to give us, this is hard to deny, guys, because yesterday it looked like they were down and out. Marshawn Lattimore Moore says, as long as we have number nine, listen to him.
I never count us out. We got Drew Brees as our quarterback. As long as the defense, you know, hold us down, hold the team down, and we got Drew on the other side, you know, we can win a lot of games like that.
Well, they did.
Well, he made the pick, which just whenever they were, looked like it scored. You want to get a field goal to make it 17-0. You're feeling good about the Eagles. He comes up with two picks. The first, obviously, was a big one. Goes up making an athletic play. The second one after the ball goes through Alshon Jeffrey's hands. The fake punt, real quick, we talked a lot about it today. When that Taysom Hill guy gets out on the field, you know something's going to happen big for the Saints. He had a touchdown that got called back on a penalty. But what about Peterson? Should he have taken the 10 yards and the hold? He made it 3rd and 11.
Yes, but they were converting those. I mean, I think, you know, hindsight obviously is 20-20. I think the momentum shifted. We can talk about the fake punt, an 18-play drive that lasted 11 minutes. They almost ate up the entire third quarter. Mike, to me, that was gut check time. And right, the Saints were able to go down, not only do it, but score off of it.
Right.
All right, guys, we got the championship game set. We'll be talking about it all week long and getting you ready for the Super Bowl, which will be in our city in a few weeks. Coming up next, though, it's Mike Conti. In case you missed it, we've got some fun stories to get to. We are live at the Atlanta United Training Grounds today here on Dukes and Bell.
Busy. Pretty busy.
Who busy?
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Coming up, top three at 6 in our conversation with Frank DeBoer, our new manager here with our Atlanta United. Frank DeBoer joined us earlier in the show, Mike, and we got a chance to sit and visit with him. Very good visit, I thought, by the way, and you will hear it later.
First thing you said to Carl, diplomatic immunity. And now Mike Conti joins us here. He's been here all day long from the press conference and hanging out with Jason, doing interviews with Darren and the guys. And so cool to be up here, man. Can't wait for the season to get started.
Well, it's starting. So
it's the shortest offseason ever.
It feels like NASCAR, right?
Right.
Or the PGA Tour, where, like, there is no offseason.
Right, they're already playing in Hawaii now. In the PGA
right, yeah,
Tour.
Exactly. Well, in NASCAR, like, okay, we'll have a banquet right before Christmas to give everyone their awards,
right,
and we'll see you at Daytona in 3 weeks. That's kind of what this Atlanta United season has felt like. It has been a tough 24 hours for me, though, on social media again. And I've just got to learn that I probably don't need to go down certain paths with social media.
Some wormholes.
Well, like, so, for example, last night, Zach Klein,
right,
after the Saints won over Philadelphia, Zach Klein tweeted, you know, I was down in New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl, and let me tell you, everyone I ran into there said that if the Saints go to the Super Bowl, they're coming to Atlanta to be there during the week to be right, a part of the Super Bowl.
They won't get in anywhere, but go ahead.
Well, no, and that's exactly.
You got to have a valid credit card to stay in a hotel, Mike.
Listen, and I'm glad you said that. Not me. I'm glad you said that because yeah, I tweeted, you know, Zach's right. If the Saints are in the Super Bowl, Uber drivers, restaurants, hotels in Atlanta are going to make a killing over Super Bowl week because you're going to have tens of thousands of people come up here who don't have tickets.
Or money.
Well, that's debatable.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's debatable.
I didn't say that.
But they're going to come up here without tickets. So they're going to be here in Atlanta. They're going to spend money in our restaurants. They're going to spend money in our hotels. They're going to spend money on Arubers. You know, whatever you do when you go to another city. Well, let me tell you. And I knew that comment wouldn't be popular. You're high.
Whoa.
You're high. How in your right mind from Atlanta could you possibly want New Orleans people here? And I responded to that one particular person
yes.
who insinuated that I was high, that, you know, you probably don't depend on tourism for money if you feel like this could potentially be a bad thing. And a lot of other people saying, you know, I have an Airbnb that I'm trying to rent out for Super Bowl. I am praying that the Saints get in it because I know my Airbnb will get rented out.
Right, right, right.
Unfortunately, there'll be 14 people in their house, though. That's the thing.
Well, regardless. But I'm telling you.
And they probably won't pay. Go ahead, Mike.
I actually had a guy who said, I drive for Uber. Right. And let me tell you, if a Saints fan calls me over Super Bowl weekend, I'm not picking him up.
Right.
I'm like, I bet you will pick him up, actually.
Oh, so now you're going to have driver discrimination?
I see a Florida Lee, you're going to pass him by.
Oh, yes. I'm going to turn down my 800% surge price because I don't want a Saints fan in the backseat of my my Grand Am. No, that's not going to happen. But the point I'm trying to make is, like, look, it stinks the situation we're in right now.
Yes, it does.
No one likes the possibility
yes.
that the Saints are going to be here in Atlanta for the Super Bowl
right
and that they're going to use the Falcons facility.
Let's go Rams.
I totally get that. That's not a fun thing to think about. But we do kind of need to look at the bright side here. And some people are saying, well, you know, the Super Bowl is going to be sold out regardless. That is absolutely true.
Right.
You're going to have 100,000 people in Atlanta no matter what, no matter who's playing in it. But I'm telling you, if the Saints are in it, now you have 150,000 people in town.
Just and wandering around like people. Zombies.
Well, Mike, real quick, take it easy.
Hold on.
In 98, there was people who went down to Miami.
Zombies.
Carl, without even having a ticket.
Right.
And I remember at Ocean Drive, people were literally going by and stealing plates of food off people that are eating al fresco. It was a free-for-all on Ocean Drive.
I was
down there. I saw this with my own two eyes. Everyone was just going to be there for the party.
So
we'll see that in spades. It'll be bananas when we get the Saints down here.
Now, that's an absurd statement. That's not going to happen. And look.
I know these Saints.
Because it's too cold to be eating outdoors. You're right, Mike.
Stop, Mike. See, you guys are like.
You know what?
I got a burner account last night that you sound like the exact people I was talking
about. Well, but here's the thing. These Saints fans are already driving me bananas
about
the idea of, yeah, we coming.
You ain't won it yet.
Well, no, and that's true. That's right. But
the Sheldon Rankins thing is huge. It's a big,
it
big
is.
Injury for
but
them.
Let's assume they do win.
Okay.
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 Are we really going to have a problem taking their money when they come
Well, I'm
going to
be in Miami at that point. If it's the Saints here, okay. I'm already looking at getting the heck
out
of Dodge.
Okay, well, but now you could rent out. I mean, I'm sure your HOA probably won't allow this.
They frown on it, but I hear you.
I mean, just between us, you know, the three of us.
I'm renting my place for $150,000 a night.
You wouldn't have any problem taking their money, correct?
Hell no. You can have it. $150 a night.
Here's the thing. You put plastic.
Thousands.
You're going to put plastic over everything for Saints fans?
Yes. Okay.
You're going to take out all the valuables and the appliances?
I'm just saying.
You're going to have a big rental.
You can have it for $150,000 a night.
Big rental locker.
I'll tell you. Listening to all of this now puts context on why people were tweeting me what they tweeted.
Right. Mike Conti.
I'm just trying to look at the bright side
of
this.
Yes, you are.
There is a business opportunity here for all of us listening to this radio station.
The economic impact for our city is going to
be enormous.
Huge.
And I'll tell you, the other team, if they get in, that would bring a lot of extra people here without tickets would be the Kansas City Chiefs.
Agreed.
Yeah. Because it's a college-like following.
A college-like following, and they haven't been in the Super Bowl in 50 years.
Yes. Right.
Okay? And it's a 12-hour drive. I mean, that's a haul, but you can do it.
Easily done.
So I'm not rooting for an outcome, especially one that involves the Saints.
Yeah.
But if it's Chiefs, Saints, I'm telling you, we're going to do pretty well in this town.
Can we do Chiefs, L.A.? Come on, let's get on this bandwagon, Mike.
Is there any doubt that the Chiefs-Rams would be the most entertaining of the four possible?
Yes.
The money, whenever New England is in it, that always drives up the prices for the tickets. But New England, they can travel, disposable income. They're going they'll stay at the Four Seasons and the Ritz-Carlton.
I think they're tired of doing this.
Look, I think Carl's on
I think they're tired of doing
something.
No,
because
it could be Brady's last one.
Well,
who knows?
I don't know about that. But when we were in Houston,
everyone
was expecting, the Falcons, they aren't going to have a lot of fans here. I really feel like it was
50-50.
Pretty much 50-50.
Yeah, actually, the Patriots fans didn't really roll in until Saturday.
Exactly. You know why? Because they go to the Super Bowl every year. It's not a novelty to them anymore. I mean, this would be, their third straight Super Bowl?
Right.
So, I tend to believe that if the Patriots were in it, whoever the AFC team or the NFC team is, that, you know, it's a lot of corporate tickets anyway, but the out-of-town people would be primarily NFC.
And just real quick, for those who didn't make the trip down, if you were in Atlanta and Houston that week, they loved Atlanta. They hate the Patriots because they lost them in the playoffs. They wanted to see us win. Everybody was, to a man, pulling for us
now,
down there in Texas.
If it is Patriots-Saints, who are we rooting for in this town?
A meteor to strike the stadium? No, of course, we have to rebuild it.
No, you're not rooting for that. But no, seriously, like, are we rooting for the Patriots at that point?
By the way, do we get relief on our PSLs? Is that force majeure if a meteor was in the stadium?
I hope so. Mike, I don't ever want to be put into this situation. You are making someone choose.
Yeah, well.
In one of the most difficult situations. I don't want to be put in that situation. I'm leaving.
I have a feeling that the Saints are not going to win the NFC Championship.
God, I hope so.
And the only reason why I say that is
please.
Philadelphia played awful for three quarters yesterday.
And still had a shot.
Still had a shot.
Yep.
You know, and the Rankins thing's a big loss, too. So, I mean, I'm not rooting for an outcome.
I am.
I'm just saying, if the Saints are in town, there is a business opportunity.
Right.
There is a money-making opportunity
for
us here in Atlanta.
I would think Loan Sharks and Bale Bosman will be making a fortune that weekend. Mike, you started this conversation talking about Twitter.
Yes.
From a New Orleans Saints fan.
Oh, I can't wait.
Hatters, hatters. It's cool. It's going to be our dome. It's only one T in haters, but I think that speaks to me.
Stop hatting, Mike. Stop hatting. Carl, you're a hatter, too.
Yeah, I'm still going at it with Saints fans. You guys are on my nerves. All right, Mike Conte, great job. Hey, coming up top three at 6, we got news on Gary Kubiak. For all the conversation about he wasn't leaving Denver, he gone. We'll explain next.
Buyer's remorse?